Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. We are so happy to see you this morning. Please stand and worship with us.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. Welcome to our launch service. It is a blessing to be with all of you this morning. If you are visiting, we are so glad you are here. Welcome. We would love to get to know you. Please take time as you can and just fill out the attendance friendship pads that you have at the end of each row and leave a name, phone number, or something. We would just love to be able to get a hold of you. One quick announcement. There is a box on the back welcome table that I think Christian is sitting on. I'm not 100% certain, but it's back there. And we have a, I guess we have a wedding coming up. Pretty soon, here in a couple of weeks, Caleb and his lovely fiance Ashley will be getting married. And as a wedding gift, what the church has decided to do is just have a box set back there and outside the sanctuary. You are free to leave any kind of offering that you would like, cash or check. What it will not hold is that blender you got at your wedding that you don't want or you want to re-gift, unless you want a blender.
Number one, I did not know about this. Number two. You know, a lot of people are like, well, you're celebrating getting married. Truly, if you knew me better than you do, it's amazing that I found someone to put up with me forever. I mean, it is. It's cause for celebration, I tell you. Mm-hmm. I promise.
So if you do put a check, just make sure you make it out to Caleb Conrad and not to the church. And the memo line you can put for Ashley's well-being, however you want to do it. But we do wish Caleb the best, and we wanted to be able to help in any way we could. At this time, what we'll do is we'll send our children off to Kids Club. That's a worship service designed just for them, ages 3 through 2nd grade. So what they can do is they can make their way to Christian there in the back. Christian, hold up your hands, and he will take them where they need to go. And while the kids make their way out, go ahead and stand up and greet your neighbor, extend the hand of peace.
I didn't.
All right, so as we come back together for worship, let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks to you for this day, for this opportunity to come together as a community of faith to worship you openly and freely. We ask that in our time together this morning that we feel the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit, God, that as we've come here looking for something, we've come here a little lost, a little confused, maybe a little hurt, and we know that through you we can be made right, we can be made whole. So recenter our hearts, focus us on the music, on the message, on the scripture, so that we may feel your glory this morning. In your son's holy name, amen.
Nothing can separate, even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have no mercy for me. Your love never waters deep. I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails, no. The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side, but your love never fails.
Everybody, how are you?
Good morning.
We are so excited for everybody to be here and worship with us at Asbury United Methodist Church this morning. And how about this crisp fall weather? Does it actually finally feel like fall?
Yes.
Woo! Well, okay, in regards to it actually feeling like fall, let's talk a little bit about a great and amazing and exciting fall event that we've got coming up called Hog on the Hill. It is on October 27th, which is a Sunday afternoon from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. We are going to have trunk or treat for the kids to go around and collect candy. We are going to have live music. We are going to have a bag-o tournament. We are going to have a bake-off. So those of you who are out here who are like, yeah, I'm feeling some peach cobbler. I've got this great pumpkin pie recipe. Bring it on. Sign up with Hannah Shelton. We're going to have a big old bake-off and taste-off for all the goodies that everybody brings in. We need some volunteers to sign up to help with stuff. We're going to have an amazing and huge kids' fest. And if I'm being honest, I think the only reason I'm actually up here instead of Dave is because he chickened out. I'm just kidding. He's back there doing the slides right now. Otherwise, he would be up here giving you much more information than I have since I've never done this before. But I volunteered to come on up here and tell you guys about it today because I am super excited about it. I'm really, really looking forward to getting together with everybody in fellowship this afternoon right after church. We are actually going to take a bunch of flyers, and we're going to canvass the local neighborhoods so that we can try to get some people in the community that don't already come to our church to come and find out what we're all about here at Asbury UMC. So if you guys would, are we standing or are we sitting? What are we doing? Do we need to stand? Do we need to sit? Oh, okay. So we're going to pray now so you can stay sitting. All right. Thanks for listening to me, y'all.
Hog on the Hill.
Hog on the Hill. I know we're all looking forward to it. That Sunday is also Stone Soup Sunday. So you come for service, go to Stone Soup, Hog on the Hill, nice 12, 13-hour church day. Why not, right? It'll be a whole lot of fun. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks to you. Thanks to you because it is a blessing and an honor to be the stewards on earth. And God, we know that we, through our giving of our time and our resources, that we're trusting, God, is what we're doing. We are trusting that you will take that and you will apply it to advance your kingdom for your glory, so that we may move as disciples of Jesus Christ in this world. So this morning, as we take up our gifts, our tithes and offerings, let us be focused on that, on kingdom building and all the wonderful things you are doing through the life of the church here at Asbury. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at his table. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at his table. Come all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, his burden light.
Good morning again. For those of you in the crowd and those of you that might be watching me through virtual reality at home, I hope that's not the case. It's okay to laugh at church a little bit, isn't it? Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks to you for this day, for this moment, and this opportunity to be together as a family and community of faith. We come to you this morning as children, coming to you with need, God, and we know that those are needs that can only be filled through you. So we come anticipating what you are going to do that next season, that next phase in our lives, in our hearts, and in our church. And God, we wait with patience, and we wait with excitement. God, we are thankful for the opportunity to hear Philander Smith Choir this morning down in the sanctuary. We are thankful for the praise band here. We are thankful that we can lift up our voices together to you. We always do so in your glory, God, and we are thankful. God, this morning we pray because our heart hurts. We look around the world and we see pain and we see division and we see hurt and we see hunger and we see confusion. And we see constantly, God, where the world wants to push you to the margins. And we know that you are just the steady, strong force that keeps all of this working, all of this moving, everything that we see as bad, we know that you are going to put to purpose for good, God, and we know you are going to put us to purpose for good. So we come to you today seeking what is that next thing that you need us to do. Now we ask this morning that you remove those shackles from our hearts, remove that virtual reality from our eyes, and allow us to see you and glorify you. In the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Our scripture this morning is from the book of Matthew. It is chapter 19, verses 13 to 14. I'm going to read it to you real quick. And if you were here last week, this might sound somewhat familiar. It said, "Then the little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If that sounds familiar, it is because last week we did the exact same scripture only in the book of Luke, or at least Pastor Dee Dee did, as she filled in for me. And I just want to tell everybody, first of all, that it's a blessing to be back with all of you this week. The prayers and the well wishes were just really, really meaningful. When I got out of my stupor at whatever time on Sunday that I did, I had a lot of voicemails, and it was just wonderful. And so you continue to affirm to me just what is so special about being part of our Asbury family. And so Pastor Dee filled in last week for me in here. She talked about the passage in Luke about the children and Jesus, right? Well, I was thinking about this through the lens of an adult because I don't remember a whole lot how I viewed God when I was a little kid. When I was a little kid in the Lutheran church, I don't remember what I thought of God. I remembered him as a kind of a far-off father figure, right? And you're supposed to be good. But I have been able to, over the last 10 years, through my own three kids, sort of see that vision and kind of relive that vision of how we view Jesus and how we view God. And so our custom when we were in Cabot was that we would always go out to lunch after church, and we'd always ask the kids, so what did you learn about in Sunday school? And when they were little, when they were 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, they would always say the same thing. Well, we learned about Jesus and God. That's what we learned about. And so, you know, for me, I was thinking, well, I sure hope so, right? Like, I hope you spent the hour learning about Jesus and God and not something else. But there was another side of it. Like, I want to say, well, what did you learn about him, right? In my older, you know, at the time, late 30s point of view, like, what did you learn about him? And it was simple. They said, well, I learned that Jesus loves me and that God loves me. And I always wanted to interject with questions, you know? Well, like, what are they teaching you about, like how Jesus feels about this, or what God does whenever this happens, you know? And you want to challenge them, but you pause and go, you know what? That just sounds so simple, and it sounds so wonderful, and it's just such a perfect way to view our Creator. Well, Jesus loves me, and God loves me. And what else do we need to know beyond that? It's simple. It's simple in the way that scripture this morning is simple. You know, you hear it and you immediately think, Jesus loves kids. Well, yeah, of course he does. That's very simple, right? Of course Jesus loves kids. But it's simple in its nature. But here's the thing, in that short and simple message, Jesus is saying so many things. And it's a great message to all of us, especially us adults in this room. So let's unpack it just a little bit. See, Jesus was making this statement as a way to rebuke the actions of his disciples. Because what this passage serves as, and it's a very small part in the book of Matthew, the book of Luke, is it's a bridge passage between two very big stories. One story that comes before it is the story of a Pharisee who's at the temple that thinks he's above the tax collector. The story that it comes right before is a story that most of us know about the rich young ruler. The young man that comes to Jesus and wants to inherit the kingdom of God, but walks away sad when Jesus says, to inherit the kingdom of God, you must get rid of all that you have in your worldly possessions. So, and so in between these two teachings, we have these two absurd actions of adults. There are these parents wanting to bring their children to Jesus, probably to place hands on them, to bless them, okay? But the disciples did not see those children as fit to approach the Messiah. Well, why is that? Well, in their culture, in Roman culture, in the Jewish culture at the time, children were viewed as having very little value, very little value. They had potential value. So what I mean by that is one day, if they lived long enough, they could grow up to take over the family business, the family farm, whatever it might be. They were these beings that were growing into having some type of worth. So the disciples, the last thing they wanted to do was waste Jesus' time with the people in society who had the littlest amount of value. And so this is a prime example of just how little the disciples and the followers of Christ understood about the nature of Jesus in his ministry. See, this event occurred 2 years into his 3-year time on earth, and so they did not understand at that point really how Jesus' love works. So Jesus used this as a teaching moment, because Jesus, whether it was his disciples, the Pharisees, anybody, he was always going to rebuke someone who attempted to contest God's redemptive work in the world. So, and to be clear, there's no way we can interfere with God's redemptive work in the world. We can't get in the way of that, no matter how hard we try. But what we sure can do is we can mess up the message. So for Jesus to approach the kingdom like a child is to truly see the kingdom for what it is. And that is for what we receive from God. And that's unconditional love. Unconditional love from our Creator. And there is an innocence in that. An innocence that is quickly lost as we move through these various stages of life, from child to teenager to adult. And what ends up happening is our view becomes sort of filmy, you know, sort of like your windshield when it needs a shot of windshield wiper liquid. It just becomes sort of filmy and distorted, and it's because we have such big expectations, such huge expectations for this world and for this life, and it's expectations that this world can't deliver upon. They simply cannot. We want it to provide us comfort and security and to give us love and purpose. And in the end, when we put all of our stock and all our investment in things of the world, we just end up disappointed. Because here's the things that happen throughout the course of our earthly life. People turn on us. Loved ones pass away unexpectedly. We get fired. We get scammed. We face addiction. Relationships fall apart. We don't get into the college we want. We get cut from the sports team we want. We can't have kids. We don't have the car, the boat, the life that we thought we should have, the right connections, the right network. Our kids won't behave like other people's kids. Other people seem to have it so easy, and they just seem to get away with it. It doesn't seem just, and it just doesn't seem fair. And all the while, these issues, these things that happen to us, these hurts and the rejection and the loss and the pressure just to keep up, it becomes barriers. Barriers in how we view God. We blame God when we don't get it. We ask God for things that don't matter. And we become like these angry beggars. And eventually that innocence, that pure love, that God and Jesus loves me mentality just starts to chip away. And we end up in this virtual reality, the mask like the guy's wearing in the picture. It's just all these hurts and losses and rejections piled up in front of us, and it just changes and twists how we view God. And what it does is it becomes shackles. It poisons our hearts and our minds, and we blame God, and we just don't understand how he could do this to us or let this happen to us. Why can't I catch a break, God? When will I get that pay raise I deserve? Why am I driving this car that barely runs? Why am I living paycheck to paycheck? Why does my life have to be so hard? Have I not been good enough? Have I not prayed enough? Have I not followed you closely enough? I. How many of you guys remember, and I say remember, he's not dead, he's still with us, but that magician David Copperfield? Does everybody remember David Copperfield? Yeah, so, and I'm not talking about the Charles Dickens doorstop paperweight book David Copperfield. I'm talking about the illusionist. Well, when I was a kid, one of the things that was really cool was it, I guess this was in his heyday, 30 years ago, they always used to put his acts on TV, and like network television, like you turn on NBC and like there was David Copperfield on Friday night. And that is what we would watch. That's one of the things that we would watch as a family. And I always remember that he used to do this one illusion where, and you've seen a lot of illusionists do this, where they get shackled, you know, arms all tied up and legs, and they get dropped into a tank of water, and there's probably sharks swimming around, so I don't know. But they're in this tank, and they have this time to try to get out, right? And so you would watch him, and what he would do is he would just kind of start out patiently working on the locks, you know? And while I know it was for show, there was really like this cool buildup. Like he would eventually start like writhing around and acting like he was going to drown and he couldn't escape. And, you know, when you're 10 years old, you're like, ah, is he going to drown? And he eventually this curtain drops down, right? And within like 2 seconds, he's up on top of the tank and he's completely out, right? You have no idea how he got out. And as a 10-year-old kid, you're like, how did he do that? It's so cool. That is a perfect metaphor for how God works in us. He makes us say, how did he do that? And only God can accomplish that. Not you, not your job, not your income, and not your friends. Though he will work through those things for your redemption. Only he can bring you that, how did he do that moment. And what he will do is he will transform us back into children with that Jesus loves you mindset. See, through the Jesus, that virtual reality mask, that veil that's over our eyes has been removed. It's been lifted. Check this out. 2 Corinthians 3:16-18. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Amen. What is Paul saying here? He is saying that we are the people of the new covenant, the covenant made through Christ on the cross. We no longer have to have that virtual reality mask. We don't have to veil ourselves when we approach God like Moses did. We aren't viewing his glory from the backside. We can receive it with a full portion of the Spirit head on, but we have to get over ourselves and the tough hand that life is going to deal us sometimes. Because see, God is seeking to transform us, and that is not some if-I equation. It has nothing to do with what we can achieve, but what we have in, or what we have in the bank, or what our causes are, what our politics are. We can do nothing for God, but we can do everything because of what God has done for us. And if that doesn't bring us a childlike joy, what will? It should bring, give us giddy with anticipation, kind of like that Christmas morning feel, right? And you know what I'm talking about. You younger kids, you live that right now. And for us that have gotten a little bit older, we have lived it. That feeling when you first wake up and before you ever get out of bed, there's that feeling of anticipation, of knowing that something amazing is about to occur, though you don't quite know what that amazing thing looks like. But you know that if you could just roll out of bed, nothing will keep you from finding out. See, that's a metaphor for a moment we are in now. We are in bed, a little bit in the dark, waiting. For what? We're not 100% sure because we don't quite know yet what it looks like. What we do know is that we have been promised, and we also know that we serve the great promise keeper. 1 John 3:2 says, "Dear friends, we are now children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we will shall see him as he is." One day we will see Christ for who he truly is. We will see God's glory in its fullest and complete form. Our blinders will be removed. Those shackles that bind our hearts will be broken away. This virtual reality that we live in, this jaded view of our Creator, will be removed from our sight forever. But while we wait, while we anticipate, let us approach God with sincere innocence and like our young Christians, and every day with a single phrase in mind: Jesus loves me, no matter what. Let's pray. Almighty God, we give thanks to you for this opportunity to hear your word and hear your message. God, as children, we come to you knowing that from you we need everything. So allow us to move through this world, not be hurt and broken by things that are out of our control. Give us, through the power of your Son, the healing that we need to move in your Spirit and to go out and make disciples in the world, to be Christ-like. We know that you love us. And God, we love you. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The last song this morning is a song of invitation, and that's exactly what that is. It's an invitation to come forward. We have prayer kneelers down front, and so during this last song, if you are wanting to just dial in and connect with God, it's a great opportunity to do so. If you'd like to pray with me, I am here, I am available, always available, and I'll be standing right over here. Perhaps the Holy Spirit has spoken with you today, and you want to come forward and reaffirm your faith. Maybe you've been visiting for some time. You say, you know what, this Asbury community, this the love that I feel from this family, it's time to join and become part of it. We can do that as well. Or maybe you just want to sing to a loving and holy God. But either way, let's be standing as we sing this final song.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven, spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows. The work is finished, the end. down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Sing that again. Then came the morning.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Praise the one who set me free. Oh, hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Amen. It has been a blessing to be with all of you this morning. Just a couple of quick things. Number one, next Sunday is Laity Sunday. So it'll be an opportunity for you to hear some folks that you wouldn't normally hear preach in the sanctuary. Don Shipley is doing both services here in the launch. It'll be Ben Cogbill. So make sure you guys don't miss that. I might be out of a job. Second thing, we're done a little bit early. That's intentional. When this service is over, if you haven't had a chance to this morning, sneak down to that sanctuary and catch that closing song by Flanders Smith Choir. It is powerful. As you leave this place, do so with the childlike love that we have for God. Move to Him with innocence. Move to Him purely. And just remember that whatever is going on in your life that is causing you stress, God's got it. God's got it, so let it go. Go in peace.